Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Lord, I thank you for each person and their safe travels to get here. Lord, and we thank you for just the beautiful weather. Lord, be with our seniors as they're graduating today. Father, just watch over them, bless them, guide their path. Father, may they seek you in their lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's worship this morning.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come together, together, to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to follow your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come together, together, to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to follow your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saved.
God saves. Is that not the truth? In fact, we get to celebrate today because somebody else came to Jesus this week. So another My Three victory for someone who's been praying for him for a long time. And I don't know about you guys, I get excited when I get those text messages and phone calls. If you guys know somebody and it happens, please let me know so we can celebrate as a body of believers that we have a new sister in Christ this week. With that being said, I want to share 1 Peter 3:15 with you guys real quick. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. Jesus is reminding us inside of this passage that we are called to share our faith at all times, that we're called to go out and let the world know, just like what happened, so another person may come to know who Jesus is in their life. And that's what we're celebrating. That's why we do My Three, because we all have people that we know need Jesus, no matter where they're at in life, no matter how far they may feel like they've walked away from God, that he is still waiting right there. And I do believe that God is going to answer many more prayers yet this year, because we know we're going to continue to seek him in all that we do. We're going to continue to lift up those who don't know Jesus, that they may come into relationship with him. So at this moment, what I want you to do is I want you to pray for your three people on your list, and I will pray for us together. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to just share this wonderful news of the work that you've done in someone's life. Father, we pray for our dear sister in Christ this morning. Father, that she may seek you in all that she does, that her life may continue to be transformed and may be a light in the world around her, that when people see her, they may ask, what is different? And she may be able to boldly proclaim Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each one here. And as they lift up the names of the people that they've been praying for, Father, we ask that you do a new work inside of them, that you transform their hearts and minds, that we remember that it is Jesus and what he did on that cross that renews us and restores us. We thank you for all of this in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship this morning.
Who the sun sets free
is free indeed.
The sun sets free.
The sun sets free. Is free indeed.
The sun sets free.
The sun sets free.
Lost, now found, all my praise goes.
was lost, now found. All my praise goes up as your love comes down. And all my praise goes up as your love comes down.
Name it is. Amen. Well, good morning, church. You know, it's great to be here this morning as we get to worship and we get to praise our Savior. I want to thank the worship team for leading us this morning. As some of you may have noticed, Pastor Kerwin wasn't in this morning. And the reason for that is his own daughter was graduating high school and stuff this weekend. So he was celebrating and he's packing up his house because him and the whole family will officially be moved here at the end of the month. So I told him, go take care of that so that we can have him here a little bit more. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are joining us. Also want to welcome those joining us online in the radio. We are truly thankful for each one of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for the example you gave us in your Son, for the life that we're called to live. Father, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not my own. And Lord, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Father, otherwise we ask that you penetrate even the hardest of hearts. Father, we know your words do not return void. And we thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series. And we're going to finish up Matthew chapter 10, where we've been at for the last couple of weeks, where we've seen Jesus giving instructions to his disciples on what's expected of them and prepared for them to head out on their first time on their own. Throughout this time of preparation, we've seen Jesus giving them instructions on what to do when they're on the mission field. And those instructions that Jesus gave his disciples were not just for the disciples, they're for us as well. They're things that we can take for our own lives. Just as Jesus was talking to the disciples in that moment, he is speaking to us through these words. And throughout this chapter, there's been a few things that have stood out to me. One is that we are called to trust Jesus in the mission. When we're being sent out, we are to trust Jesus to provide along the way. That he's going to provide all of our needs as we go. We've been reminded throughout the passage that not everyone will respond well to the gospel message. That not everyone wants to hear the name of Jesus. And in those moments, it's not for us to judge in or to push. It is simply to present Jesus and move on to those who receive the message of hope that is found in Christ. And because not everybody will want to hear what we have to say, we were reminded through the text that we need to be prepared to face persecution. We need to be prepared for what may come our way. But even if we are arrested, even if we're thrown in jail, even if we're beaten, if we're called names, if we're done all these things, God can use all of those moments for his glory. We just simply are called to trust him in it. That we shouldn't fear the world, that we shouldn't fear what the world can do to us. Instead, we're called to fear the one that can judge the soul in the end. But if we have a relationship with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. Because you see, God loves us, he cherishes us, and he watches over his children, and he gives us instructions for our lives. That's because we matter to him, and we hold value to him. And then we come to the text this morning. And you see in the text this morning, Jesus is giving his final bit of instructions to the disciples before he sends them out. And these instructions that he gives this morning are much easier said than done in our lives. It's this idea that we put Jesus first in everything we do. And I think for most of us in here, we would say that we want to put Jesus first in our lives. That we want to have Jesus be the number one thing in our lives. I mean, it sounds good. It kind of rolls off the tongue saying it. It feels like it's biblical. Like it's something we're supposed to say as Christians. But let's be honest for a moment. That's often easier said than done, isn't it? It's easier to say that Jesus is first in our lives than to actually do it. Instead, what do? We often let things of this world distract us. We allow the world to come in and distract us from what's truly important in life, from what Jesus has called us to. And one of the first things we're going to look at this morning is money. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with acquiring money. Money can be used for many good things. We need money to survive in the world that we live in, don't we? We need money to help our missionaries. We need money to pay for our food, our housing, our transportation, our clothing. We need money to make the church function, to be able to help the poor, to be able to help those who are less fortunate. We need money for all of those things. And I do want to say thank you to the church for your generosity. Because of the help that you guys give and because of the donations, we are able to help a lot of people in our community that most of you have absolutely no idea about. Because of your generosity, we can do a lot of different things. But too often, we allow that desire for money, that love of money, and the things that it can provide to distract us what's truly important in life. You know, it keeps us from spending time with our family and friends. The search for money can cause us to miss opportunity to invest in other people's lives. Being too busy to engage even the least of these around us, always searching for that next dollar, not understanding that sometimes our presence is more important than the dollar that we made. There was a story I heard years ago. Some of you may have even heard it before, about a young child whose dad was always on the go. He was constantly working. He made a good living. He provided a great life for the family in the sense of things that they may want or desire. But one evening, the child went up to his dad, and he asked his dad, how come, you know, after his dad had came home late and everything, but he went up to him and he said, hey, how much money do you make an hour? What does it cost? What do you make every hour? Now, the dad was kind of upset, thinking this isn't the son's responsibility. This isn't something the son should be worried about. And so he kind of made a smart comment and said, like $100 an hour. Well, the young child went off to his room, opened up his piggy bank, and got everything he had in there out, and went up to his dad and said, how much of your time can I get with this? The dad was more worried about the life and the items that he could provide than the presence. We're not called to allow money, the love of money, to distract us from what's truly important in life, which is to put Jesus first, to be that hands and feet. Another area that often keeps us from serving God or placing God first in our lives is media. And when I say media, I'm talking about internet, social media, I'm talking about TV, music, all of these things, video games, newspapers. All of these things can become such distractions in our lives. We spend so much time investing in them, squandering hours and hours of our day, engaging in things that don't bring any true hope or value in our lives. If you pull out your phone, you can actually take a look at how many hours you spend on different apps on your phone. It'll give you a 24-hour breakdown and a week breakdown. You will not be happy with your results, most likely. On that note, you can also restrict it for yourself. You can tell yourself you can only have so much time on each app. But you see, we allow these different medias to distract us from things that God has called us to be. And when we look into the news or we look into some TV shows or what's going on or social media, oftentimes it does not bring out the best in us, does it? We allow it to be this distraction in our lives to the point that it actually causes anger in our lives, upset, resentment, and we start fighting with each other. And it causes this division, not just within the world, but even within the church. Because we allow that stuff to be so prominent in us. And don't get me wrong, media can be a good thing as well. It's through media that people who can't be here this morning are able to join us. It's through media that informs us on what's going on in the world around us. It lets us know who we should be praying for and what we need to be praying for. But the problem is we often allow this to take away from the things that are truly important in life. We invest so much time and energy into media that we allow it to become a distraction, and it keeps us from spending time with our loved ones and friends. It puts up this wall, this barrier. We no longer have face-to-face conversations because we allow media to overrule us. It can distract us from spending time in our community and being the light in our world. And it can keep us from reading God's word. It can distract us from spending time in prayer, keeping us from engaging in the body of Christ. Talking about the body of Christ, believe it or not, church can become a distraction to your relationship with Jesus. We can become so caught up in all the activities that we get this false sense of security, we get this false sense of being right with God, that we forget to actually spend time with our Savior. Instead, what do? We worry about how we look, and we worry about how people perceive us inside of church. We worry about how everything else is, and is it this perfect little set? Do we have the right clothes on? That we get to the point that we never actually share our concerns and our worries and stuff with each other. We don't bear each other's burdens as the body of Christ. We don't openly share, I need prayer in this moment for the struggle that I'm facing. Because we're worried what others may think of us. We're worried what others may say. We forget that it's not the church that saves us. That in fact is the perfect work of Christ that saves us. It's what he did on that cross that saves us. I just want to encourage you, don't be so invested in the distractions and in the feelings to be perfect that we forget to reach out to the least of these, that you stop spending time with God, and that we stop seeing people the way that God sees people. Don't allow the church busyness to distract you from spending time with our Heavenly Father. And the last one I want to bring up this morning that often distracts us from Jesus is relationships. Every relationship that we have in our life has the potential to be a distraction from who Jesus has called us to be. It could be friends, parents, siblings, loved ones. It could be a girlfriend or a boyfriend. We can allow these relationships to become such distractions from what God has called us to be. And don't get me wrong, relationships are important. They're the foundation often of the human experience that God has given us. God himself is a God of relationship, isn't he? He sent Jesus to the cross to restore us so that we could be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. But there are times that we allow those relationships to become more important to us than our relationships with Jesus. And we allow them to become a distraction. We allow them to become a huge demand of our time. And if we're not centered around God, if our relationship isn't centered around God and have him first, we can see our walk with Jesus go spiraling out of control. Relationships are important in our lives. But our relationship with God is supposed to be first and foremost in everything we do. And I know that's not always easy, but this brings us into our first passage this morning, which we're going to be over in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33 is where we're going to kick off. And it states, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before the others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Here we see Jesus talking about acknowledging Christ to the world around us. How we acknowledge Christ in all we do. On where we are to spend our time, our energy, and our resources. You know, when we're in church and we're around fellow believers, it's easy to acknowledge Jesus, isn't it? There's this expectation that Jesus is going to be talked about when we're together in the body of Christ. We have this idea of who Jesus is, and we at least give Jesus lip service in church. You know, it's easy to profess our faith when we're surrounded with our brothers and sisters. The difficulty often lies in acknowledging Jesus in the areas of our lives that Jesus is not represented. You know, what do you do when you're around family and friends who aren't believers? What do you do when you're around family and friends who make fun of Christianity or all of that? Do you still profess Jesus at the same level? Do you hold that faith within you at the same level? Are you willing to stand firm, even if it makes you an outcast inside of that moment to your family and friends? You know, Jesus never said that being a Christian was going to be easy. He never said that we wouldn't face trials and tribulations. Instead, Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Our faith is not something that's supposed to be hidden. It's not something that's supposed to be kept from the world around us. And inside of this passage, Jesus is reminding us that we're supposed to proclaim it for everyone to hear. One of the reasons that we're called to actually do baptism, why we're called to give a public testimony of our faith, is to acknowledge to the world around us what Jesus has done in our lives. Jesus reminds us here that if we deny him, he will deny us. And that denial is not just talking about our words. That denial is talking about our allegiance. Where is your allegiance this morning? Is it with God or is it with the world? Where is Jesus in your life? Is he first or is he last? Is there other things that you're placing before Jesus in your life? And are there things that you view as more important than Jesus in your life? What do you do with your time, your talent, and your resources? What do you do with the gifts that God has given you? Do you use them to declare Jesus, or do you use them for your own satisfaction? You see, each one of us has to make a decision on where Jesus is in our lives and what order of importance he is to us, and on whether or not we will proclaim him in all that we do. Jesus continued in verse 34, where he said, "Don't assume that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is one of those passages that when we read it, we go, what in the world is Jesus trying to say? You know, the world we live in has this view of this peaceful Jesus often, doesn't it? You know the idea, though, you without sin cast the first stone. We like that verse. It makes us feel good. Don't judge me. Or what's the other one? Turn the cheek. Turn the other cheek. Those are the versions and stuff of Jesus that we often look at. But here we have Jesus saying that he came to bring a sword. And we can find ourselves questioning, how does this fit with the other things that we know about Jesus? There's a couple things that we need to understand. One is that the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would usher in this time of world peace. And when Jesus returns, the Bible tells us, there will be world peace that will be established. What Jesus is talking about in the context of this passage, when he uses the word sword, he's talking about division. You see, the very nature of Jesus' claims to be God, the very nature of Jesus telling people to repent and to be living a transformed life, he's saying, while here on earth, he is forcing people to make a choice. And we must choose to believe what he says and who he is, or we must choose to reject him. And when that choice is made, it does cause division. Because when we choose to accept Jesus, there's going to be disagreements that arise in the world around us, isn't there? There's going to be conflict between those who choose to follow Jesus and those who reject him. What Jesus is saying inside of here is his very presence demands a decision. And not everyone is going to like the decision that you choose. In fact, Jesus continues by referencing Micah 7, verse 6, which talks about the coming Messiah. And he says in verse 35 and 36, "For I come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household." Again, Jesus is not encouraging disobedience to parents or conflicts at home. But he is saying that when we accept him, it is unavoidable that there will be conflict between us and the world around us. There will be those who do not like the message of Jesus. There will be those who do not like what Jesus represents. They do not like the idea that we're called to repent, that we're called to live a transformed life. And because of this, at times, the world's rejection is going to cause division. And we're going to have family members and friends who almost become like enemies. I had friends and family that walked out of my life after I said yes to Jesus. Just like I'm sure some of you guys did. They don't want to hear it. It's one of those things that brings tension at the idea. He continues in verse 37 and says, "And the one who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The one who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He's not asking his followers to break family ties inside of this moment. That's what cults do. That's not what Jesus is asking for. Jesus never asks us to break up these family ties. But what he is saying is when our family and friends ask you to go against the word of God, when your family and friends ask you to do things that you know you are not to do as a follower of Jesus, inside of that moment, you have to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to follow the world? That's a decision you need to make. And we need to be willing to make it even if it upsets our family and friends. Standing for the word of God is not an easy thing to do at times, but it's what we're called to do. I know it's not an easy choice. I've had to make that decision many times in my life. And there's been times that I've made the right decision, that I stood firmly on the grounds on which Jesus has called me to stand. And I'm sure like many of you, I've had moments where later I had to go back and repent because I look at it and I go, man, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I've even had to go back to the person and apologize. We're all human. But it's how we act afterwards. Jesus continues in verse 38, and he says, "Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." This idea of taking up our cross is an illustration of humility and submission to Jesus. This idea of taking up our cross is a picture of us following Jesus inside of that moment, understanding that it's not going to be easy. And you know, following Christ is a moment by moment decision requiring denial of ourself. Following Jesus means taking the same road of sacrifice and service that he took. Being willing to stand on Jesus's to follow in his footsteps even when it's not easy. Being willing to stand firm even when the world asks you to do something different. You know, a couple years ago, I had an interesting situation that came my way. You see, my cousin left the Amish church. And when you leave the Amish church, what happens? You get shunned. You're rejected. You're thrown to the side. And he chose to leave the Amish church. And as he was reading the Bible, he was going to Bible study and he was getting help and so forth. And because of that, he was no longer allowed to eat with the family when there was a family function. He was not allowed to do about anything with the family, honestly. He could come and sit on the outskirts, but that's about as far as it went. Well, it was during that time that one of my uncles called me. And he asked if I could do him a favor, if I could help him with something. Now, you see, this was something my cousin, who was being shunned, was not allowed to do. And I disagree with what they did inside of that moment. There's no biblical value to back up in the way that they're treating him. There's no biblical way for them to walk this out on the way that they're asking him to. And at that moment, I told my uncle, I said, "Hey, can my cousin do it?" He goes, "Absolutely not." And I said, "Then I can't do it." There's no difference between him or me. We're both believers in Christ. And this caused a riff like nobody's business. My mom got so many phone calls, bless her heart. And I became the outcast, along with my cousin in that moment. Was it easy? No. But it was worth it. I stood firm on the word of God, and I stood with our brother in Christ, taking that penalty that he didn't have to face this alone, because there was nothing different between him or me. That's what we're called to do. Picking up our cross means that we help our brothers and sisters. Picking up our cross means we do the right things at the right moments and that we represent Jesus well. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But we can trust that God will provide. Jesus continues in verse 39 and he says, "Anyone who finds his life will lose it, And anyone who loses his life because of me will find it. This is two separate statements inside of here. Yet both are saying the exact same thing. If we find our lives here on earth, if we base our lives on things of this world, if we search the world for our desires and goals apart from God, where we put everything else before God, we ultimately lose our lives. We lose the eternal life found in Christ, and we lose the life that God has in store for us. But you see, if we lose our lives for the sake of Christ, meaning we put our earthly wants and desires to the side, that we seek out the kingdom of God first, it's in that moment that we actually gain our lives. And I'm not just talking about salvation, but we get to walk out the life that God has called us to. One that I promise is much more fulfilling than anything the world itself can offer you. You may not be a millionaire at the end of the day, but you're going to have joy, peace, and all types of goodness that you've never imagined before. You're going to have brothers and sisters who surround you and love you through even the most difficult moments in life because you're walking it out with Him. And this is hard for us often to do. You know, I thought about this, and I actually believe it would be easier often for us to give our life in martyrdom than walk out faithfully for all of our days. That one single moment, I believe, would be easier often than to live that life in battle every single day. To pick up our cross daily. You know, Christ demands loyalty. He demands loyalty over every other part of our lives. And the more that we love the rewards of this life, the leisure, the power, the popularity, financial security, the harder and harder we find it to pick up our cross daily. The harder and harder it becomes. Jesus closes out chapter 10 and verses 40 through 42 where he says, "The one who welcomes you welcomes me, and the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person because he's righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is a disciple, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward." Jesus closes out this particular chapter and he's preparing to send the disciples out now. And he reminds his disciples and us that we're called to take this great message of hope that is found in Jesus to the world around us. That those who receive this message are given a great reward. They're given a relationship with our heavenly Savior. And those who receive Jesus and welcome into their lives also welcome our heavenly Father into their lives. Jesus again is making a claim of his relationship to God, his oneness with him. And lastly, that last verse 42 there, Jesus is speaking about hospitality. He's talking about how we are called to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ, not based on world standards, not based on where they stand in society or what their hierarchy is or how popular they are or what they can offer us. He is saying that we are to welcome our brothers and sisters. We are to help them out to be that hands and feet to the world around us, to stand firm with them in whatever they may face, and that we too will not lose our reward found in heaven. I know this was kind of an interesting walkthrough as we looked at the life of Christ over this chapter 10 and this calling that he has for each of us. I know for myself, it was a good reflection back that Jesus comes first in everything. And it can be difficult at times to discern where we're crossing over and where we're not. And I want to encourage you guys this week to spend time in prayer, asking God, what in your life is distracting you from actually carrying out the message that God has for you, from actually walking out that life that God has in store for you. Because you've mattered to him and he wants what's good for you. But are you walking your own way or are you walking God's way? Ask God to reveal to you this week what it is that's holding you back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Father, we thank you for your encouragement. Father, may we place you first in our lives. May we remember how important that is inside of that moment. Father, even as we raise up the young ones, when they see us putting Jesus first, we are setting an example to them. Lord, thank you for each one of the people here. May you reveal this week to them on what's holding them back from serving you with all they have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you. All to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as lost. For the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
Go out this week. May you just search your hearts and your minds on what God has in store for you. May you see what is distracting you from walking out what God has called you to. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.